Let's start this evening. I always like to do this sometimes. Let's hold our Bible up. If you got one, hold your phone up. There you go. Marilyn's got her phone. Some have their phone. I don't have my phone here. I'd hold up both. Say this. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am. What God says I am. I have. What God says I have.
I can do.
What God says I can do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this is what? God speaking to me. This word is God speaking to me. You want to know what God thinks? Go to His Word. Hallelujah. A couple of things that, we had shared in past lessons is that Jesus is God, is the will of God in what? In action. We saw Jesus on this earth in His earthly ministry. We saw Him do what? Heal the sick. He was what? Anointed of God by the Holy Ghost, who went about doing what? Good, and not just doing good, healing. So healing must be good. If it's good and healing, all those who were what? Oppressed of who? The devil. So we know where sickness and disease comes from. It's oppression, and it comes from the devil. And we can also see that, it was God in Christ doing what? Reconciling the world. So healing, as we can see, how God so loved the world that He did what? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in Him. So salvation was provided, but you've got to do what? Believe in Him. You've got to believe in His will. And so in that redemptive package, so to speak, was not only healing provided, but also salvation was provided. But you've got to do what? You've got to believe in what was provided for us. We've got to believe that and receive it. Let's turn over I know we've looked at these, but let's look at them again. Psalm 107 and verse 20 says, He sent His word and did what? And healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Hallelujah. I like the Passion Translation. It says, God spoke the words, be healed, and we were healed. I like the way the Passion Translation says it. Delivered from death's door. God said, be healed, and we were healed. I like that. That's the Passion Translation. Same scripture, Psalm 107, verse 20. And Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of His word does what? Bringeth light. So we've got to, or the revelation or the unfolding of His word brings light. So we can see that it's in God's word that we're going to get revelation. We're going to get the light of God's truth concerning healing. Now let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. I think this is a good place to land on here. Look at these three particular scriptures concerning healing, Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, and then Matthew 8, 17, and 1 Peter 2, 24. Be good to memorize those. Get them down in your heart. Hallelujah. Get them down inside. Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, surely He, he's talking about Jesus here, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. We are healed. Say that. I am
healed.
In the mind of God,
I am
healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am healed. So this here was really prophetic in the sense it was looking forward to the cross. But let's take a look at Matthew 8:17 in the New Testament. So he did what? He bore these, our sicknesses. Some of the translations say our diseases did he bear himself and our pains he carried. So he did this. Matthew 8:17, speaking of referencing the same scripture, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I like some of the Moffat translation says, he took away our sickness and our diseases he removed. He took them away and he removed them. The New Life says he took on himself our sickness and carried away our disease, or diseases. So he was made, 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says what? He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in Christ. So we were made, in the mind of God, we were made righteous. But we had to do what? We had to take that. So he died, he carried away their iniquities, their sicknesses. He carried those. He took them to the cross. But, so in other words, in God's eyes, in his mind, that price has been paid, redemption has been paid for what? Every man. Every man, every child, every woman, whoever will be, it's been paid for. So in his eyes, they're not going to be healed. They are healed. They are saved. So that's why our responsibility is to do what? Go preach the gospel. Because some don't receive because they've never heard the gospel. They don't receive salvation and they don't receive healing. Some receive salvation, but that's all they're taught. A lot of churches, that's all they teach. And they don't teach on healing. They don't teach on this subject so that, what? They're not aware of it, or they don't have faith to take what already belongs to them. Because as far as God's concerned, he's paid for it. It belongs to you. All you have to do is do what? Reach out and appropriate it. Take it, what? By faith. You say, that's mine. I take that. It'd be no different if somebody paid for your trip to go somewhere, an exclusive trip around the world. It's paid for. And you go, gee, I sure hope I could go. I sure hope I could go. No, you know what you'd do. You would do what? Take it. You would appropriate it. You'd go and get what you need, right? Or not what you need, but what's been paid for. So it's the same thing here. It's already been paid for. All we have to do is do what? Receive it. Take it. Take what belongs to us. So let's look at another scripture, 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. I'm going to share this other scripture here, but anyways, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare what? Our sins is what we just got done reading. He bare our sins, where? In his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Ye were healed. So if I were healed, then I am healed. I was, and not was, I am. I am healed. So if I am made righteous, then I am righteous. If I was healed, then I am healed. And so this is what it says, by whose stripes ye were healed. So sometimes Here's another thought to consider. Sometimes people don't receive healing. I'm not saying everybody, but some may not receive it because they say, well, God's going to heal me sometime. You understand what I mean? He's going to do it. He's already done it. He's already healed you. Well, if he's already healed me, how come I don't look like it? Because you've got to believe that you've received and that it's so. You've got to do what? Appropriate it. What does it say in Isaiah 10? It says that the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Well, the word is anointed. And how do we activate the word of God? By faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. You know, when we talk about something, let me read this. I was blessed. You know, I try to read health food every day. But these last 3 days, or 3 days, over 3 days, I don't know if some of you read it. Some of you may read it. Some of you don't. But I just got blessed because this really just is a blessing. And this was something that Brother Hagin wrote. This was the entries in November 25th, 26th, and I think the 27th. Just short, but it was good. He said, in the 1950s, I read a testimony in the Reader's Digest, which was endorsed by the Secretary of the Navy. And so he's going to tell this little story. And this is what, and I'm just stopping here to read this, because this is what it means to appropriate something by faith. Take it by faith. Nobody laid hands on him. Nobody prayed for him. He just reached out and took what was his. It's a really great story. So he said, he stated, all of these facts are true, and we endorse this article to show what faith and prayer will do. One of the youngest officers ever in the United States Navy, an admiral, got cancer. 90% of his liver was gone. He was functioning on 10% of his liver when the cancer was discovered. They put him in the terminal ward at the hospital. Everyone who was placed there was given up to die. The doctor said he would be dead in 10 days. The young officer shared, the fear of death in that ward was so much in manifestation that it seemed you could cut it with a knife. The very atmosphere was filled with fear. He said, I was too. But as I lay there in the night, I remembered that I knew the Lord as a youngster. I was raised in a Lutheran church, and at the age of 13, I had a personal experience with Jesus. But at 19, I got away from him and had been away from him all these years. I remembered the story of the prodigal son and said, Lord, I'm that prodigal son. I'm coming home. I lay there on that bed in the night with tears, not tears of sadness, but tears of joy. If it wasn't for disturbing the other fellows, I think I would have shouted. The peace of God came into my heart. The young admiral who was dying of liver cancer then said to the Lord, I know the doctor said that 90% of my liver is already eaten up with cancer, and that I'm operating on 10% of it. I know the doctor said, this is what he's saying to the Lord. He said, I know the doctor said that I'll be dead in 10 days. I'm not afraid to die now, but I just can't believe that it is your will for me to die at my age and leave my wife and 2 children. I can't believe that. I know that you can do anything. I know that if I had a headache, you could heal a headache. I'm sure you have that much power. But it would be just as easy for you. This is a person. This is just something. He said, but it would be just as easy for you to heal cancer of the liver as it would be to heal a headache. I'm going to ask you to heal me and believe that you'll do it. Right? He said, scriptures began to come back to him that he learned as a child in Sunday school. He began to quote them. The next day, his wife came in and broke down in tears. She thought she was about to lose a husband. He said to her, honey, don't cry. I've been away from the Lord, but I've come back to him. Huh. He said, and I want you to know that I'm not going to die. This is appropriating the word of God by faith, speaking the word. And he said, she said, yes, but the doctor said you're going to die. This is what he said. I don't care what the doctor said, he replied. Think about this. This is what Brother Hagin says. Think about this. He had no teaching about faith and healing, but just by following his spirit, he knew that God would heal him. He was so much improved the third day that the doctors ran some special tests and said, we don't understand it. Instead of your liver operating at 10%, it's operating at 50%. A few days later, his liver was operating at 100%. Just by first of all, getting himself right with God and just believing, this is not your will for me to die. Huh. And he said so. So he said, in this Reader's Digest article, it also stated, this is interesting, that a person couldn't be an officer in the United States Navy if he'd ever had a deadly disease. I didn't know that. So after he was healed, this admiral couldn't go back to being an officer. He appeared before Congress. I was impressed by the speech he made. He told them about his healing, and then he said, since being out of the hospital and reading the Bible daily, I've found that God has promised us at least 70 or 80 years, and I'm not even half that old. He was very young. I could get a pension and sit down the rest of my life, but I want you gentlemen to know that I'm going to live my life out. I'm going to live for God first and my country second. Serving my country is all I've ever been trained for, and I want to serve my country. But I'm going to serve God first. By a unanimous vote, they voted to reinstate him to his former position. And this is what Brother Hagin wrote. He said, I thought this was one of the greatest testimonies of someone who had never heard healing taught, but listened to his spirit as he got back in fellowship with God. And he says, we serve a mighty God. And the point I want to emphasize to this is this, that liver cancer wasn't any bigger to God than a headache. Amen. That's a great testimony. Somebody who was never taught healing just followed his spirit and said, God, you don't want me to die. And I'm not going to. This cancer is no bigger than this headache. If I had a headache, you'd heal it. So God's word, he don't change. He's the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So because here in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he hath made him what? To be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Salvation is a gift. It what? It belongs to us. So is healing. Healing belongs to us. It's a gift. So we need to do what? Receive it, just like salvation. We need to receive healing into our bodies just the same way we receive salvation. By acting upon what already belongs to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So really, the scriptures that we've read are not really promises. They're really statements of fact. They're facts. We are healed. So in the mind of God, we are already healed. He laid his sicknesses and diseases on Jesus. He already bore them. He bore our sicknesses and diseases. We do not need to bear what's already been born. So God's word is what? God speaking to me. God speaking to us. And God's word says what? We were healed. If it's him speaking to me, then if we were, then I am. I am healed. Hallelujah. Matthew 4:4, it says what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So let's turn over quickly to Mark 11, 22 and 23 and 24. And if you haven't gotten this book, I think they still, I haven't checked to see if they still have them in the bookstore, but we got a number of these. This is Understanding the Healing Power of God by Doug Jones. You need to get that. Great book. And he goes through the healing power of God. Mark 11, and we know the story about how Jesus cursed the fig tree, and in the morning Peter called him into remembrance, said, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus, what did he say? He said, he answered them saying, have faith in God, or my margin says, have the faith of God. You know, that would have been a good time at that point. If you think about it, if it was something only he could do, that would have been an opportune time for him to say it. Boys, you got to come to me. There's something only I can do. And he didn't say, this is something only God could do. He didn't say that. He said, this is something that if what? He told them, have the faith of God. But verse 23, for verily I say unto who? You, that whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things which he saith, not just readeth. You got to read and believe. Faith cometh by hearing, but then you've got to do what? You got to say something. We which have believed, therefore we speak. So we believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. That's just exactly what that admiral in the Navy did. He believed that God could heal his liver. And he said so. He said, I don't, the wife said, what did the wife say? He said, yeah, but the doctor said you can't. He said, I don't care what the doctor said. God is going to heal this liver. I can't believe that I'm going to live. Now, obviously, he made a connection somewhere. There was a faith connection. You know, you can all try to figure it out. It's not worth figuring out. He made a, you know, as somebody said, the proof is in the results or the pudding, right? He made a faith connection with God. And this just exactly, now let's continue. Verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things would healing be things? Sure would be. Things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and what? Ye shall have them. When shall you receive them? What does it say at the beginning? It says, what things soever ye desire, what? When you pray. So when you pray, you believe you receive your healing, and you shall have it. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. So we can see here that the healing that we desire has to be believed to be received when we pray. And what do we do at that point? Just like, as Brother Hagin said, one is faith that speaks and one is faith that prays, right? One is speaking and one is praying. But still both are representative of faith. Hallelujah. So we can see here one of the things that's I think important to me is, and I kind of take a little side journey here, a little side venture here, is that part of is that we have to believe that it's God's will for me to be healed, and to believe that and speak it and say it. But we're also can't override the direction of the Spirit of God with our confession and our believing, because God will lead us, what does it say, into all truth. So if God leads you, I'm not telling anybody to do anything, what to do, but when you believe and trust God, if God says, do this, then you better go do it, because he knows more than you do. He knows more about you than you do. So healing is God's will. It is his plan. And we're to do what? Believe him for that, because we already are healed. But that does not mean that you override the directions of God, the promptings of God, the leadings of God to do things in your life that override certain things that maybe you're, and that's not to do away from or take away from God's will in his word, right? Keep speaking, keep believing. I always say this because God will lead you into his truth, into his will. But along the way, he's going to direct you, right? You keep speaking that I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm strong in the Lord. But God may say to you, he may say to you, exercise. Well, I'm just believing God. You know, we hear this. I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to be real here. People say these kind of things, and you want to hit them because they say, well, I'm just trusting God. And I hear this so much that I want to say, what does that mean? Just tell me, what does that mean? Because if you're trusting, then you're being led. So when you're prompted to say to somebody, what are you doing here? And they go, well, I'm just trusting God. But trusting, if you are trusting God, then that means you're responding to his gentle directions. Trusting does not mean I'm just sitting and waiting on God. That means you're active. You're actively professing. What did the woman with the issue of blood do? She says she continually said, if I do what? If I touch just but the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. But she didn't stay in her house. She got up and went to where he was and put herself at risk in her society. So she got up and did something. She took advantage and took hold of what obviously Jesus must have shared that it was theirs to take. Had to have been. Why would she go after something that wasn't promised? So it had to have been shared by Jesus that this was my will. So we can see here that part of the healing process is trusting and believing God. What did correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just thinking of a few things here come up, but what happened when the lepers, how many of the lepers, 10 lepers came to him? Yes. And how many came back to thank him?
One.
One, right? Just one. But what did he say to them when he left? He said, as they went, they were healed. As they went, they were healed. But only one came back and thanked him. But I like what Doug Jones shares in his, he probably discusses it in here. I haven't had time to read this because I've listened to the tape so much. But he talks about in here that the scripture, when the scripture says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he said the best example that he had or used at that time was that these plants here. He said, you know these plants, And of course, somebody yelled out, peace lilies. So he said, you know these plants? Well, we've seen these plants in our church here for years. When these things get dry, you ever see these things when they get dry? You know what they do? You never see them get dry because they keep them watered, right? But when these things get dry, this is what they do. They just fall over. They just lay down, literally. We used to have them in the sanctuary. When we had them in the sanctuary, these things, when they get dry, they literally just lay, the leaves just lay out. They just lay down, right? So you think it's dead. No, it's not dead. It's in a state of shock. It's got no water. But he said, if you just take a little water and put it in there, he said, it starts to do what? Recover. The recovering process starts the minute you pour the water into the plant. Not after. As soon as you pour the water in the pot, the recovery begins. So he said the same thing. As soon as hands are laid upon you, this is one way, the recovery begins. And that's where Brother Hagin, all the time, he would say, even some, and I didn't read those today, but he said one guy went to 30-some evangelists to have hands laid on him, and he said, you know, and he tells this long story, Brother Hagin, of this guy who got healed when he was very young by Amy Semple McPherson. And he said, and it came back years later, and he went again, and he said, nothing happened. And his response was, well, she lost it. She lost the healing power. So he went to another evangelist and another evangelist, and he did this for a period of 16 years. He went from one evangelist to the next, and he said that when they laid hands on him, he said, this is what he was telling Brother Hagin, I got nothing. They lost it. They don't have it. They don't have it. So he said, I heard that you had it, that you had the healing power. So I came and I had hands laid by you, and I had a number of times in your meetings, and I got nothing. So you lost it. You don't have it. So he said, this is what he said. But as I sat in your meetings and I listened to the word of God, I realized that I had to do something. What was it? The entrance of his word bringeth light. So he said to him, you know, just, you know, how Brother Hagin used to say it. He said, that's right, brother. He said, you do have something to do with it. He said, I could have told you. He said, you wasted your time getting in my healing lines or anybody else's healing lines because you weren't going to get anything. If you were looking for them to do something, he said, you're wasting your time. He said, it's your faith in God. You've got to activate your faith. You've got to appropriate what you're hearing, what you believe in the Word of God. He was just going to have somebody lay hands on him, thinking he was going to get something from them. And he said he never did. So he said he finally realized the light entered from just sitting and hearing the Word. And he received his healing. So it was a good thing for all of us. You know, whenever we all walk through things in life, we have to go back to reminding ourselves, what is the will of God? What is His will? His will is that we were healed. It's already been paid for. And I have to keep saying that and say, no, no, I was healed. So if I was, then I am. I am healed. Regardless of what my body's going through, my body was healed. And the more we, here's the thing. The more we agree with God by doing what? Believing His word and speaking it, then we align ourselves, we get ourselves into agreement with God's word, with His will. By believing and speaking, we align ourselves or we get into agreement with what God's will is. What is not getting into his agreement? Well, I know he said I was healed, but I don't see it. That's not getting into agreement. That's not aligning yourself and speaking what his will is, right? So if the scripture says that the Spirit of God, he said, the Spirit of truth will do what? Lead us or guide us into what? All truth. He will do what? Guide us. He will guide us. Say, guide us. He will guide me into truth, into all truth. So that means I've got to do what? Believe the truth, speak the truth, and he will guide me into the truth. He will lead me. So that means if I'm off over here doing something, he will say, no, 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 you need to come over here. You need to do this. That's why I say there may be natural things that need to be made adjustments. There may be things you're saying and believing that need to be adjusted. Because I can tell you, the more you speak the truth of God's word, you will begin to see the truth. And God will begin to see. Once we position ourselves by believing and speaking the truth, you now give God an opportunity to do what? Reveal to you and speak to you where you need to make adjustments. If you do. That, to me, is the exciting thing. And that regardless of whether we see something or not, we need to do what? Keep believing, keep speaking, keep feeding on the truth. And we will be guided into the truth. Amen? Everybody see that? Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. As the Lord spoke to me years ago, he said, you got to work the word. What does that mean? Feed on it, believe it, and speak it. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20 through 23, it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep what? Keep the truth in your heart. Keep it in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, or in some translations say the boundaries or the extremities of life. The Rotherham translation says, to every part of one's flesh they bring healing. That's just exactly what happened to that man, that admiral in the Navy, that testimony. It brought health and healing to his liver. Brought health and healing to his liver. The Knox translation says, they will bring life and healing to his whole being. The New International Version, it says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to a man's whole body. That means I don't care if you've got breath in your mouth, if you've got breath in your lungs, you have life in you. And that means there's hope. That means you can live. I don't care what the doctors say. You are a spirit being, you are led by his spirit, and you are healed. You were healed. Hallelujah. It says, for they are life to those that find them, and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. The New Living says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate. I like this. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. How do you let something penetrate into your heart? You listen to it. You meditate on it. You listen to it a little more. You know, sometimes you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord, right? You've got to stir yourself up. You don't feel like getting up. You don't feel motivated. You don't feel encouraged. Well, if you're waiting for somebody else to do it, it ain't going to happen. Somebody may, they may encourage you, but it'll only last a little time. You're going to have to get up every day and do what? Encourage yourself in the Lord. You've got to get up and begin to say what you believe. I believe, because we're all going to hit points of discouragement or points where we don't feel healed or we don't feel encouraged. You're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You are going to have to speak and get up and say, no, I'm going to do this. I am strong. What does the scripture say? Let the what? The weak say, I am strong. I am strong. I am strong. I heard a minister teach this or share this. Somebody, a known minister, was ministering, and he came off the road, and this particular other minister had a very had cancer. I don't remember if it was the stomach or whatever it was, and they were on death's door. They were right. They were in bed. He said they were so weak when he went to visit them that you could hardly hear them speak. He said he had to get his ear right down to their mouth to hear them. That's pretty weak. And he said, this person, this was a woman, all she kept saying is, I'm so weak. I am so weak. And she kept saying that in a whisper. I am so weak. And kept saying it. And he said to her, and she was a minister of the gospel, but was overcome with these symptoms and was on death's door, and said to her, let's just say this. He said, take your time, and said, let's say this. The scripture says, let the weak say, I am strong. So he encouraged her to say this, I am strong in the Lord. And it took her a while just to get the one out. Took her a while because she was so weak. And he sat with her and said, let's say it again. I am strong in the Lord. And he said over about 20 minutes or so, her voice began to get a little stronger and a little stronger and a little stronger. And he said it got to the point where she said she recognized that the power of God was coming upon her, because she was saying, I am strong in the Lord. And the more she said it, the stronger she got, and strength came into her voice. And she began to cry, because he said, that's the power of God that's come upon you. And it did. And she got up and she began to sit up in bed and began to almost shout. And she said that the power of God came upon her and healed her. That's why it's important to take time with people that are in situations to do what? Encourage them, not beat them with scripture, but to encourage them to say what the scripture says. You don't need to get to death's door to say, I am strong in the Lord. But you can say, I am strong in the Lord. When? When you're weak, when you're discouraged, when your mind is telling you things, you go, no, I am strong in the Lord. I am. We all need to do it. We get those days where we've just got to say, you know what, I'm going to take an hour here and encourage myself in the Lord. I'm going to take this half hour right now, and I'm going to begin to speak and say. I tell you, I do it. And after about 15, 20 minutes, I'm like, oh, yes, sir, I'm ready to go now. I'm ready. I encouraged myself in the Lord, because I certainly was not. Right? I was like, close the door, turn the lights off. I am not encouraged today. But you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. And it's the same thing. We've got to do what? Take what God has given us. He has what? When he was crucified, I was crucified. When he was buried, I was buried. When he was raised, I was raised. When he was healed, I was healed. Hallelujah. He took my sins and sicknesses. And so what happened? When he was seated, I was seated there with him. Where? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. So I am the healed. I am healed. I am strong in the Lord. I do it now more often than not, but, you know, I mean, there may be a day or two here that I miss, but I try as best I know how to say it. I am strong in the Lord. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, what? I forbid sickness and disease to come on my body. Every tissue, every organ of my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function in. I forbid any malfunction in my body because what? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You've got to say that when you're not feeling like it. You've got to determine and make a choice. No matter how weak you are, no matter how many symptoms are in your body, you've got to determine that, number one, God paid for it. It's his will for me to be healed. Not only is it his will, I am healed. Yeah, my body may look like this, but I am the healed. And I am strong in the Lord. And the healing power of God is working in my body right now, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. And it's driving these symptoms out. You know what that does? That forces your body to get in line with God's word. It makes your body. What does the scripture say? The Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit that raised his body from the dead, quickens my mortal body. So as I activate the word of God with my confession, the Spirit of God gets involved, and he's doing what? Quickens my mortal body. He begins to make my body get in line with the word of God. Hallelujah. I just so love, you know, when I hear testimonies, I think about the Warwick family that were here for a number of years and then moved out to Broken Arrow and got involved in the Rhema Bible Church. And you know, we see Ken and Ada whenever we go out, you know, to Rhema. And I remember their daughter, Jessica, who used to wear a pump here. She wore an insulin pump. And a little short Jessica. Still short. But full of vim and spunk. But she wore a pump. And that was, she had to wear that. But when she went to Rhema for 2 years, every day, her dad said, Ken said, every day she went to prayer and healing school. Every day. And he said, after 2 years, though, I remember it was a couple years ago, he said, you know, he said, after going to prayer and healing school for 2 years, he said, her pancreas just started to work properly. It don't just start to work. It's the Spirit of Christ quickened. It's the Word of God that began to work in her body. Why did it happen overnight? I don't know. But the Word was working in her. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more we hear the Word, the more it does what? It quickens these mortal bodies of ours. It helps us. So we just have to be diligent to hear the word, feed on it, and speak it and say it. That I'm not weak, I'm strong. I'm not sick, I'm healed. Hallelujah. And God will lead us and direct us into the truth of God's word. So I just encourage us to speak more the word of God, feed on it, and we'll walk in health. We'll walk in divine health, actually. Right? That's our desire, walk in divine health. Yes, you know, I understand we're all getting a little older, a little grayer. I'm not getting heavier, I'll tell you that. I'm getting thinner. I'm working at it. I'm not just hoping it's going to leave me. I got to do something, right? I've got to make some choices. I've got to pull away from the table and not eat what I just want, right? But I can tell you this, that, you know, when we make some of these natural choices, just in the natural, I'm talking about on the natural side, you feel better. You do. And your body operates better. Hallelujah. You know, just growing up in my home, just speak of my mother, she's 94, spunky as all, and get out, you know. But she has always been a slender person. She's never been heavy. I don't ever remember my mother heavy, ever. That's just the way she was, but she didn't eat just everything she saw. And she was disciplined. I mean, even now she said, well, I lost some weight, but I wanted to gain weight to get back up to my weight, which was, you know, 125, 130. And somebody might say, 130, that's, for a woman, you know, that's not heavy, but that's what she's been all her life. And she whenever she gets, you know, like all of us, whenever you put on a little extra, what do? You pull away, you make adjustments, right? And I personally believe that that's what has kept her, and not just that, but I'm talking about on the natural side. She loved Jesus. They've always put Jesus first in our family. That's the key. But I think there's natural things that we can do also that help us and aid us, along with the spiritual things, right? Pastor Hagin always used to say, he says it this way, it's the natural and the supernatural coming together for an explosive, what? Explosion, a power of God. So we've got to keep our bodies in, you know, in line with certain things, right? Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. So how about, let's say it again. This is my Bible. This is God speaking to me. He took my sins. He took my sicknesses. He bore them. And by his stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am healed. I am the healed. Glory to God. I am the strong. I am the well. You know, these principles, you could say the same thing. I'm not only just the healed and the well, I'm the prosperous. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Well, that concludes our time together. I like what Brother Hagin says. You know, when he was alive, he'd say, people would say, well, I heard that before. And he said, that's like a person who says, I ate steak once before. And he said, I don't need to eat that again. He said, no, you don't. You sit down and eat it again. And you enjoy it. Because we love the Word of God, we feed upon the Word of God, and we enjoy it. Amen? And it feeds us. It nourishes us, just like that good meal that you eat. Right? Praise God. Amen.